Welcome once again into the Soccer OG. Hey, that's me, Max Bretos. This is episode 194. A reminder to rate, review, download, subscribe, and tell a friend of our podcast being heard coast to coast, around the world. Make sure you check out my YouTube under my name, Max Bretos. New video out there, published on Monday for your viewing and listening pleasure. Make sure you smash that like, subscribe button while you're there. Very excited to join you each and every week. Gangbuster show this week. Coming up in the business end, MASL, the Major Arena Soccer League, has wrapped up its season. A very successful season. Another alternative way to consume soccer. And we're going to be joined by Marco Fabian, a decorated former Mexican international who played in the Bundesliga, who played in MLS. He has an incredible perspective. He has some fantastic English. He even speaks a little German. He will be joining me in the business end to talk about his new venture playing for the Empire Strikers of MASL. And he's going to make some big news about where he'll be playing next year, right here on the OG. So stick around for that. We'll talk a little MASL. It's all interesting. Everything in the soccer nerve center here in the United States goes into our sport, which needs all the entry points possible. Ahead in Check Complete, we will talk about what is next for the United States after they won the Nations League as they move forward to April and May. No games until June. We'll take a look at what they have to do between now and then. A lot of work. We've got to squeeze the lemon for Copa America. It can't come and go and we don't get at least a semblance of what we hope we can. So we'll talk about that in check. It's another great show. The Rundown will get us started. Try to squeeze in everything into the rundown that happened this weekend. I was really excited. I know you were all really excited. We have this much anticipated, highly publicized matchup between Manchester City and Arsenal. And I got to tell you, the games between the top teams in the Premier League, in case if you've been living under a rock, we have a remarkable season in England where three teams are in competition this late here in April. It's not an April Fool's joke. Man, I've seen some piss-poor April Fool jokes. I don't partake in that anymore. Sometimes I get my kid into it a little bit, see if I can catch him in some trouble, just to get a nice reaction. But that's about it. Very minor. So the Premier League race, still hot as ever. Liverpool played Brighton, and then Arsenal played at Manchester City. And we talked about this game. NBC was promoting it. This was the thing about the Premier League, which is so exciting. It's a new development, really, that for the first time, well, I don't want to say the first time I can, but first time since I can recall, the identity of the clubs in England in particular, which is the most lucrative, the most successful, the deepest league in the world, where every game really has an edge to it. With the exception of my West Ham United, almost every team has an identity. And the concept of playing in a lower block or playing for a point, even for some of the teams at the bottom, I mean, Luton Town has bucked the trend, maybe to their own demise, that they play a style and they get after it. They go for results. By the way, the promotion situation, the bottom three still, Luton, Burnley, and Sheffield United. Nottingham Forest hovering around there. Gio Reyna got some minutes. So very exciting there. They're going to need it. There's games coming up in the midweek, Tuesday and Wednesday. Hopefully Nottingham Forest. Because a lot of people are getting excited about what's happening in the EFL Championship. And I think the three teams that got promoted likely are going to go back down. The three teams that might get promoted this time around have some Premier League pedigree: Leeds, Leicester, maybe not Ipswich, but maybe those three teams get back. Because as I've been saying here, playing in the Premier League has gotten a lot harder with the established teams in there. And I think yo-yo clubs are going to be much more commonplace. Let's get back to... I'm all over the shop. I apologize. I get too excited. Let's get back to Man City Arsenal. We were expecting Man City and Arsenal to go for it because that's what we've seen all year. But we didn't get that. And credit to Arsenal, who had six shots. They had 27% of the possession. They played for a point. And they got it, which is the wise decision here. even though they both teams relinquished points to Liverpool, who beat Brighton. But Man City didn't really push back, right? We usually Man City's a big bully, and they'll run over you if you try to play that game. But Arsenal, I mean, Arsenal have some magnificent players. I keep getting deeper and deeper infatuated with Saliba, William Saliba. Gabriel, another great one. What they do in the midfield with Declan Rice and Odegaard. They're a tough one to crack. Ben White. And, you know, they shut down everything that Manchester City threw at them, in particular, Haaland. So it was a dreadful game. And we looked forward to it so much. I made a comparison to when The Phantom Menace came out. Remember, they hadn't made a Star Wars movie in years, and we were all excited. And I was like, I can't wait. I'm going to get seats weeks in advance. And I sat down, and the movie started. In 20 minutes, I go, this sucks. Similar feeling for this game. I did not think we would get a game like this. But horses for courses, that is what emerged. And we still have a great title race. But, you know, the most exciting thing happened afterwards, you know, where there was Pep Guardiola undressing, who was it? Jack Grealish. We had Saliba and Erling Haaland almost getting after it. I wouldn't mess with William Saliba. He looks like a tough dude. I mean, he's pretty thin, but you see the way he plays. I would imagine that translates to being a tough, tough guy. So all of the things that happened after the game are the most exciting, but I walked around Sunday, Easter Sunday, happy Easter belated to everyone. A very special day for so many folks. And it was dreck. So I want to say something about Liverpool, because Liverpool had a magnificent performance coming from behind to beat Brighton, and they've moved to the top of the ladder. It was at home, and game winner in the 65th minute, Mohamed Salah. Some incredible touches, and I'm not the first one to say this, about Alexis McAllister, part of the McAllister football family of Argentina. He really made the difference in this game, and you look at the data output from him, it is off the charts. And one thing to keep in mind with McAllister, because Argentina is going to move on from Messi, probably after the Copa America. And I am very confident that Argentina is going to be as good moving forward. Maybe they're not going to win back-to-back Copa Americas and World Cups, but they are going to be very good because they're so good and they have so many good young players. They have good midfielders. They have good defenders. They have good goalkeepers. They have great number 10s, and the next number 10, even though he plays a little different than Messi, is going to be Alexis McAllister. And what a heavy shirt. We all just talk about retiring the number 10. I mean, we've stopped that ridiculous conversation, right? It's going to be Alexis McAllister. So fantastic. In Germany, Bayern Munich losing to Borussia Dortmund, I think for the first time at home. It wasn't even close. And it's over. The Bundesliga shield, start engraving Leverkusen into it. They have, what about, 7 games to go? Is that it? And there's a 13-point lead. So Leverkusen's going to clinch it pretty soon, which is great for the league. And to lose to Dortmund, I mean, to get 3 good clubs, you know, Leverkusen with the announcement that Xabi Alonso is going to stay around, which means he's not going to take over for Jurgen Klopp, which means he might have the eye on the Real Madrid job eventually, when things change there. So good news for the German game across the board, which is good for all of us because the Bundesliga is a wonderful league. But, you know, Bayern just second best at everything. But that's big news, I guess, from the weekend. As we're winding down the seasons and then we're going to get ready for just a bumping summer, we have the Copa America field set. We have the Euro field set with teams like Georgia slipping in, which was fantastic. I don't know if you saw the Georgia-Greece game, but the scenes of the folks in Tbilisi losing their mind for qualifying for a major tournament for the first time. That's why we love this sport. And that's why we're going to just, I haven't even fathomed how I'm going to manage the summer because I have to schedule a trip with the family. I continue to do MLS season pass and that will move forward. We'll have a busy summer, but I got to watch Euros and I got to watch Copa America. So it's going to be crazy. get your sleep now, I suppose, and sleep later when you're dead. So we have that. Inter wins, so they're moving closer to their Scudetto again. No Italian teams left in the Champions League, so they focus on the domestic campaign. MLS, I got to call the Chicho Arango hat trick. Check out, if you're a soccer fan, you're wherever you are in the globe, check out MLS Season Pass, Apple TV, get a subscription, check it out for a few weeks for the remainder of the season. See if you like it. I highly recommend it. You get all these games on a Saturday, and there's more cool stuff happening. I will be in Seattle. I love going up to Seattle. They put us up at the Edgewater Hotel, which is on the water, and it's always a good time. The only problem is the Sounders haven't won a game yet, but they'll take on Montreal, CF Montreal. First time I've called a game of theirs, I think, well, a long time. So MLS is surging forward. I want to talk about MASL because we're going to have Marco Fabian here in a few minutes to talk about his experience there. Major Arena Soccer League. And if you go back in time, that was people's first experience into soccer back in the 80s. The clubs, you know, Steve Zungel and Hector Marinaro, the Baltimore Blast, the Zala Sidekicks, the San Diego Soccer. So they brought back all those branded names, the Tacoma Stars. And they have a nice little marketplace. You know, it's obviously their budgets are going to be tight, but they, you know, many people didn't think this could be feasible, but they're drawing some good crowds, 2,000, 2,500 fans for the indoor game, which is always very exciting and fast. I want to give the props here to Gunnar Bent, who is the communications director of the Empire Strikers, who put me in touch with Marco Fabian. Great interview. I think you will like it. We're also going to talk about how he has viewed the Mexican national team and Liga MX. So this guy knows his stuff. I mean, I'm going to have to put a good word in for him at Apple or something to see if we can get him on staff, because I think he's a great resource. And he's here, Empire Strikers, who play in Ontario, California, Rancho Cucamonga. They're in the, you know, the, is it the high desert? Not the high desert, but kind of unbelievable, below the mountain. Not the high desert, but on the way there, yeah, in the Inland Empire adjacent. So San Bernardino County. There's a club there, and they play at the Toyota Arena in Ontario. There's 13 teams. They have a couple teams in Mexico. So the playoffs begin. There's a team called the Monterrey Flash who won all 24 of their games. So they have some good storylines. Check MASL.com for all the information. And we're going to get to a game next season with the Empire Strikers. We are a big believer in there. Some great people. JP De La Camera, we've talked about MASL, and Shep Messing are all involved. So we will stay in touch. My guy Philly, who's calling games. And it's important that we support all assets of the game here in the United States. And it's a great deal. You can take your family there for have a great night out for very minimal price tag. I recorded this Marco Fabian, and we talked about his final game on Sunday. I recorded it on Friday. I couldn't get it out till the following week, so we promote the game for the weekend. Obviously, it's come and gone. But schedule some things for next season. We're talking MASL. Marco Fabian joins me next in the Business End. We're back here in the Business End. Very excited to be joined by a true legend here in our region who is now continuing his career. He's done so many incredible things, and now he's playing in the Major Arena Soccer League for the Empire Strikers, who, by the way, have their final home game Sunday. It is fan appreciation game at the Toyota Arena in Ontario. So if you're in SoCal, if you go there, tickets are $5 for a fan appreciation game. Go to the Empire Strikers, Strikers with a Y, theempirestrikers.com. And while you're there, you might see Marco Fabian become the top scorer in 2024. I know you're thinking about it, Marco.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Max. It's a pleasure to talk with you. And yeah, I'm happy to be here, and also exciting for Sunday. You know, it's our last game. Unfortunately, we don't play a playoff, but we try to get the first victory at home on Sunday. And also, personally, I just try to to get the score of the league. So it's very important, this game, for me and for all my teammates. And enjoy. That's the why. And try to share a little time with the fans, with the people. So I hope this Sunday we have a great day.
Marco, you look and you sound happy. Is that fair? A new challenge, and it feels like and 32 goals in whatever 21 games. Life's good, yeah. No?
Yeah, it's very good. I didn't expect this before come, because I'm really happy to be here in the MLS. It's a new challenge for me. When I received the offer, I just thinking about, of course, it's a difficult decision to come here, but I just want to say, after my career, everything I did, it's a new challenge, because it's a completely different soccer. It's like indoor, you play with boards, you play just five, you have smart changes, smart movements. It's completely different, and I never played before. So for me, I just start to learning really fast. I just start to ask a lot of different tips. And I think I got it. I got it very fast. I think after four or five games, I just start like play better. I just try to score every single game. And until now, I know the most important is the team. The most important for me, I want to play a playoff, but it's a process. It's a big process. I hope the next season we can fight for the championship, but this season at least I feel good, and I scored some goals.
So you're definitely coming back next season.
Yes, 100%.
Oh, brilliant. What were the concerns? Because I understand it. You're playing in a big field, and now you're like, I don't know. I mean, it's a small little venue where the ball's coming in fast. You said it's fast. Is that what it was? I mean, but just the things that go, you had to say to yourself, okay, am I doing the right thing here? Because this is different.
It's very different. I think one of the bigger tips, you have to be smart. You have to be smart, because you have to know the moments. You have to find the best spaces. And at the same time, you have to play with the boards. The boards is very important. So one of my best thing that I did before in outdoor soccer is like a shoot from far away. I score a lot of goals like this. And for me, I just translate this to the indoor soccer. What it means is like it's a small field. So I have much more opportunity to have more chances to score. What if I just find some space, I just try to shoot. And even if I don't score, it's a really big opportunity to score. Even if it's not me, it's in the second ball. Maybe one teammate to score, but I think it's one of the things when I get in my mind.
Do you think it's good for players, maybe younger players, maybe yourself, you want to go back to the regular soccer? Does it get your body in shape for the traditional soccer, traditional football?
Yes, actually, it's curious, because it's a little maybe you laughing after this I say, but
I laugh all the time.
When I come here, when I receive the offer, I just say with friends, "Oh my God, I go to play indoor soccer because I'm old, I'm a little tired to play outdoor." And maybe an indoor, I think it's a small field. Maybe it's a little more calm. Yeah, I just come into the indoor soccer and I say, oh my God, it's more tired, because you're really fast. The rest is, and you have to sprint, go out, sprint, and like, oh my God, why I did it, no?
Yeah, what did you do? You're, as you get older, it's supposed to slow down, not speed up.
But it's nice. I know. It's like you say, you still, your body fit, you have training every day. It's a different type of physical, no? Outdoor is more resistant because it's 90 minutes you play. And indoor soccer is four quarters, 15 minutes every quarter. But you can go out, you can rest a little bit, it's like basketball, it's like hockey, no? It's something like this, but it's more emotions, it's more like opportunities to score the goal. And I think in soccer is the most important, no?
Yeah.
For the people.
Yeah, but it's been very well received. I mean, You guys aren't, it's not a playoff team this year, but you still had 2,500 fans come into Toyota, and it's in Ontario. They love their football out there. So you still feel that love.
Yes. Yes. And at the same time, one of the things when I say when I come here is better, is something good. I feel good because I share time with the people with my whole car. They support me, you know, people from California, people, actually a lot of Mexican people. When I come before with Chivas, with Cruz Azul, with the national team and play a friendly games, always I receive like really a lot of love from my fans in California. They support me every time. And now it's time to share a little time with them. They can see me every single weekend when it's the season. After the games, I just try to make sure if they come to me, you say take a pictures, sign autographer, a lot of things with the fans. That is also important for me.
When you're walking around Ontario, you're still El Man, Marco, and whether you want to be, you're still the man. So when you're walking around Rancho Cucamonga or Ontario or Upland, I'm sure the people are like Marco. It's kind of yeah, actually, and you look the same. You look the same from 10, 15 years ago when you started playing. Well.
I hope I can move in the same like 15 years. No. But yeah, you are right. I feel really, really love for the fans. Actually, the first day when I just arrived, I go just in front of the Toyota Arena, clock from there to the Ontario Miles, to the center, the mall. And yeah, it's a lot of Latino people, a lot of Mexican people that they come to me and Marco, what do you do here? And then I just take a picture with the people. And it's good. It's good. I told you. It's like I right now after years, I have a time to share with these guys.
Ah, brilliant! What has been the reaction from the público in Mexicano? Because you know you're a big star there, and MASL has two teams in Mexico: the Monterrey Flash. And by the way, did I read correctly? They're 24 wins out of 24.
Yeah. You are right. Whoa.
That's a big story. A perfect record.
It's incredible. It's incredible. And it's when I just know about the league, I know it's two Mexican teams into the league, the US League and the MAS League. And this is good. This is good because you are together, right? You are together. And then at the same time, it's like they are really good teams. No, they are some Brazilian guys too. And I think for me, I don't want to say that, but for me in the playoffs, I think Monterrey Flash is the bigger favorite for the championship. But they have a good team. They have a record right now. Chihuahua, they play good too. And I think we can beat these guys the next season. But
yeah, right now, there you go.
But they right now they are a good team. So yeah, that is good also for the Mexican fans, for the people. They can join more, no? This sport because it's different, but it's something really good.
Yeah, I said the Monterrey Flash, Chihuahua Savages. Do you think the indoor game can grow in Mexico? Having two teams is a great start, and you would be a great ambassador for that. But do you think that the fans there could say, okay, I like my football, but I can get my arena soccer as well?
I think yes. It's one of the things when we want. No, I just come here. I just come here and I arrive and I try to help the league and to help the people to grow this league. How it would really be? Just take a more maybe legendary players to come to play here. Also the youngest players where they know the sport. And also, like you say, like the Mexican people, no, I think right now it's two teams. But I heard they are interesting and one more thing, and different things. So I think we are in this way, you know, in this way to grow the league all together. And I think in the next some years, I don't know where, but we can have more teams into the MAS league and more competition.
It's a great product. Get out to wherever market you are, not just the teams in Mexico, but it's a throwback to the soccer, which was so popular back in the day, and the brands are still there. San Diego Soccers, Dallas Sidekicks, Baltimore Blast, Kansas City Comets. And you got that history, and you got some new history, the Mexican clubs. I love it. And some great people working there. Check it out. It's fantastic. Now, would you ever consider being a coach in the future, Marco?
Oh my God, it's a good question. I have a title. I student for 2 years and a half. So I already finished. I have my title of a coach, but I don't know yet. I don't know yet what I want. And maybe some years I just thinking about it, but right now I just want to finish my career and then we will see.
Down the road. But the reason I ask, because I wanted to phrase the question like this, as I switch it to the USA beating Mexico in the Nations League, if you were a coach and you watch the game and you are 43 caps for El Tri, you were at 2 World Cups. So a big name in the Mexican game. Seeing where and I'm sure you've heard all, this week's been amazing because I heard Alberto Garcia Aspe talk, and I've heard all the journalists talk, and I've heard all the former Mexican players talk, Tuca Ferretti, the coaches. They're all talking, and they all have ideas.
I know, too much talking. too much talking about this, but I know.
Okay, and now let's do some more talking. But if you were there as a coach, or maybe just as a former international, what would you say? What would you say to a team about what comes next for Mexico? Because there's good, we know there's talent. We know there's a good program there.
It's a lot. Look, it's good, this question. And I just want to say, if I'm a coach, I just try to work on this process, no? But one of the things is, I want to tell, because like you say, I have a lot of experience into the national team. Yeah. And I shared the idea and I shared the same words like Carlos Vela say. Carlos Vela is one of my brothers, but he are right in one of the things he said. I think the problem is not the coach. He say, even if Mourinho come or Pep Guardiola come and take the national team, it's still the same thing. What's mean is like, is the a lot of different things, but a lot of the opportunities of the players, because we have in Mexico a lot of big talents, a lot of big young players. But what is about the opportunity and this big process to send to the best leagues? I had opportunity to play in the Bundesliga for 4 years, and it's a big difference. It's like you graduate, right? It's like a really, really you take. And how the U.S. national team and the U.S. league, how they did this big process. If you turn around and just saw 2 years ago, how was the national team from U.S.? Was a little bit more bad, but the young players, they send it to Europe. So after 2 years, they already graduated all the, I think the whole team, or maybe just one or two, not, but the whole team.
2 of 23. We're not in Europe.
So the other players, the whole team, they play in Europe, and they shoulder into the field. So this is a big process. What is about in Mexico? About in Mexico is, I think, just small players, maybe small clubs, and the opportunities is always denigrated. It's like, okay, maybe they're looking for this guy. They talking about money. They think first thing is about money. It's one of the things of the process where you never put this step up to the next process. So I think even more the coach, of course, if I have the coach, I just try to work, because I always say the work is the key for the successful. Work, stay together, be like a family, because the talent, they got it already. They have a big young players. But I think it's not everything about the coach and then everything about the soccer. It's behind the scene, no?
It's a responsibility from the players, because you can say they could make more money. Let's say they make $3 million in Mexico. Yeah. I'm just throwing these numbers. And they make $2 million or maybe $1.5 million in Europe. It's probably, if they want to help Etri and they want to help their game, that's a time where they maybe should take a little less,
time is the time with the chain. They have to walk to the comfort zone. You know,
yeah.
Even if a player, if they have this opportunity, they don't have to think about the money. They have to think about your career and the opportunity to go to Europe.
And that will help them in the big picture down the road.
Yes, yes. And the second thing also, the owner or the president, they have to open the door to send this guy to Europe. And now it's like sometimes it's like, okay, we want this guy.
They close the door.
Yeah, this guy, okay, I offer, $4 or $5 million. I want $25 million for this guy. Yeah, of course. It's like a June player, like at the clubs, it's like, you are crazy. You never pay something like this.
I won't turn down $25 million, Marco, okay? I won't turn down $4 million. I wouldn't turn $1 million down. But, you know, I understand the money situation. It's crazy, but it's a unique circumstance for Liga MX. By the way, has Carlitos come out and seen the Empire Strikers play?
I hope one day. I let me call. I don't know where he's here. He's in holidays. Yes. LA is playing and nobody knows where he's here. Even me.
¿Dónde está Carlitos?
¿Dónde está Carlitos? We don't know.
I'm gonna make a shirt that says that. ¿Dónde está Carlitos? Maybe he's been there and he didn't tell you. He was like in a little hat and sunglasses and he wanted to watch. Because, you know, it is Carlos Vela. But going back to that, and Alberto Garcia Aspen, it was amazing what he said. And he was very passionate. And he said, we were good when we were all playing in Mexico. And I get it. And the USA in 2002 and 1994, they all played a lot of they didn't, in 94, we didn't have the MLS. But in 2000, it was a big MLS-based team. And they did well in the World Cup. And I could argue that. But it's times have changed. And I think the proof is there. But is with regards to going, is it simple as going many, many players? If it's not just one, but if it's 20 guys going abroad, that does make a difference. And the game has changed a lot now, no?
Yes, the game has changed, like you say. And it's difficult. But when you have the right guys, you have the guys. I think the big example for me, and I was, not because I was there, but the big example for the national team, for our country, is the Olympics Games. The Olympic Games is like, we are like completely family, choose one team. We forget about everything. We forget about the money, we forget about everything, a lot of different things. And we just focus on compete with the bigger team. And we compete with Brazil, we compete with a lot of bigger teams, big players. And we stay together, we work together. And then we get the gold medal, you know, because until now is the biggest thing in our country about soccer, no? So for me, I always say this is the big example. And you have to start with this example to do the next things. So that's why when I say always.
Where do you keep your gold medal? Is it at home?
in Mexico and my family homes. Yeah.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. By the way, we were talking to a gunner who is the head of communications, and then you guys started talking German. So 4 years. So in addition to getting your game up, you get to become a very cosmopolitan person.
One of the team when I got in my hair and I support all the time because I have a lot of memories in one of the where the biggest moments in my life is in Eintracht Frankfurt. I spent 4 years playing there. I was champion with the Eintracht Frankfurt. So of course, after 4 years, I learn and I speak German, but because I like language, I know also small Italian, and my English is not the best, but I can.
Your English is excelente, excellent. I think I lost him. Well, hey, listen, we lost Marco, but we got the gist of it. But I'll try and get him back. If not, we'll circle back here in a little bit, and I am going to talk about, what am I going to talk about? What's next for the U.S. Men's National Team post-Nations League? That's next on the Soccer OG. Time now for Check Complete. Isn't Marco just a lovely guy? I hope to have another conversation with him and support MASL the best you can. We will circle back at the beginning of next season. We're going to be all over it. Maybe we'll do a show from Toyota Arena. Look forward. So the Nations League is behind us. We're not talking about that. We didn't even really celebrate the U.S. victory over Mexico that much because it's just so expected at this point, which is kind of a bummer because you want Mexico to be good. We need Mexico to be good. We need Canada to be good. We need Jamaica and Panama and Costa Rica and Honduras and everyone to be good. You too, El Salvador. So we didn't. I don't think we really celebrated too much. It was so matter of fact. So that we did know that was a placeholder for the beginning of 2024, which is going to be a huge year for American soccer. And it's essential that we seize the opportunity. Nothing will allow us to seize the opportunity better. So the biggest responsibility is on Greg Berhalter and this U.S. team to be successful. By that, I mean make a semifinal. More games, the better. Because every game captures the attention of the country, which is not plugged in right now. They will be if the U.S. wins. But we need help from so many other areas as well. Before we get into all of that, because it's April, there are no games until June. Is it June 8th? They play Colombia June 12th. They play, I don't have those dates right. They do have some games against teams that they will potentially face in the Copa America, both Colombia and Brazil, who could be their quarterfinal and their semifinal matchup. So those are two massive games, and we will talk about them when we get there a little bit closer. June 8th is Colombia. That'll be at Landover, Maryland, FedEx Field or Commanders Field, whatever they call it now. June 12th, the U.S. will play Brazil. That will be at Camping World Stadium in Orlando. And June 23rd, they begin the Copa America against Bolivia. So we have some time. Not a lot of time. What is it about, like 85 days or something? Got to seize this opportunity to make use of every day. So this is me talking to you guys. We've got to roll up our sleeves and do some stuff. So those games are going to be coming. Now, what happens between now and then? The U.S. won the Nations League, and we look at the roster. So first and foremost, I don't think Greg Berhalter has a Nations League roster and now is going to change it up for the Copa America. He doesn't want headaches. He is going to try and keep as many of those players on that roster as possible. So of the 23 guys we saw in the Nations League, I have at least 20 that will be on the Copa America side. Anyone who was in there as a fringe player or as a backup, I think there's, barring a collapse for their club team or, knock on wood, an injury, their spot is going to be promised. So for instance, Drake Callender, who was the third goalkeeper for the U.S. in the Nations League, they're not going to replace him with Zach Steffen or Patrick Schulte or Gaga Slonina. Again, if something bizarre happens, if form is that much of a dip, but I don't know how it could possibly fall apart. Drake Callender will have some big games for Inter Miami beginning this week with the CONCACAF Champions Cup. The folks in Mexico, by the way, are going bananas talking about Monterrey Inter Miami. It could be the biggest CONCACAF Champions Cup game ever. And this is good for Major League Soccer. People are talking about an MLS club. Granted, it's Inter Miami and they have different rules. And, you know, sometimes it is Inter Miami and the rest of MLS. But you can say that about La Liga. It's Real Madrid and Barcelona and then the rest. So, I mean, teams like LAFC and the Sounders and Philadelphia Union and Columbus Crew, they are very good alternative options to consuming the league. So getting back to the roster, I don't think Greg Berhalter is... Look, if you bring these guys into the Nations League camp, you want them to get a taste of camp. You want these guys to get familiar with each other. You want them to hang out with each other. So you don't do a big pivot. So the roster is not going to change much. So that's good news for Drake Callender. It's good news for Christopher Lund and Joe Scally, both of which I'm not crazy about as fullbacks, and I think we saw that with Joe Scally, but unless DeJuan Jones or Brian Reynolds, who did play with the under-23s and was okay, or John Tolkien or someone else really emerges, the backups are going to stay there. I think it bodes well for the midfielders there. Malik Tillman wasn't great. I don't think they're going to move him out for Gianluca Busio or Georgi Mihailovic. By the way, I had some discourse. I like having discourse with USMNT fans. But it was about Georgi Mihailovic, who is a big outsider to make any future U.S. team. But I'm going to tell you, he's going to have a huge year at Colorado Rapids. And yes, it's the Rapids. So I said, look, he's a great set-piece specialist. And the amount of just vitriol that comes from folks. I like to have a conversation. Two rules. Be an adult, which is not always what you get. And don't crap all over these players. You can be critical of them, but don't say horrific things. I don't understand that. He's terrible. He's out of just say he's not up to it. But anyway. So I had that conversation. But I don't think he's going to make it. I don't think many guys are going to make it that weren't there already. Brandon Vasquez isn't going to make it. Taylor Booth is not going to make it. These guys, unfortunately, Alejandro Sendejas, Kevin Paredes, not going to make it. There are going to be some changes, and those were due to the injuries. Three big injuries of players that I can't see won't get back on the team. Luca Della Torre was on the team. He was replaced by Brendan Aaronson. Josh Sargent was on the team. He was replaced. Who was the other one? It was Brendan Aaronson and I can't remember. But, he was replaced by Haji Wright, of course. And then the other one was Cameron Carter-Vickers, who wasn't on the roster but was injured but is good enough to kind of keep a spot. So who do they replace? Cameron Carter-Vickers, I think, is pretty easy. If you look at defenders, Tim Ream started a game. Miles Robinson started a game. Chris Richards started two games. Mark McKenzie did not play. So Carter-Vickers comes in. Carter-Vickers probably moves ahead of Miles Robinson in the pecking order. Chris Richards is the jewel of the defenders. And I heard an incredible stat while watching Nottingham Forest Crystal Palace. He has played now, in the last 18 games for Palace, every minute. Fantastic. I still need to see some growth in him. I want him to get tougher. I want him to get uncompromising. If someone pushes him, I want him to push back. It's a little too nice. And still, he's the best we have. Tim Ream's getting too old. Maybe Richards, Carter-Vickers is the desirable pairing. Miles Robinson, without question, still in the mix. And these smear campaigns against him are truly pathetic. He's a really good defender, and he can defend well and set pieces. His problem is when he gets stretched or gets isolated, which is really the problem for many center backs, but some are much better than others. So that's one. Carter-Vickers in. Mark McKenzie's probably not going to make it. Midfield, Luca Della Torre will come into the mix. This one's a little trickier. It's not. You know, Brendan Aaronson will step aside after making the side. And Luca Della Torre has earned it. Luca Della Torre is a guy who can play a couple positions. I don't think he's going to play a lot when the Copa America rolls around. But we're not here to undercut what this guy has done. He's been fantastic playing all the time for Celta Vigo. The last one's a little trickier. It's Josh Sargent coming in. Because Haji Wright was his replacement, and Haji Wright was fantastic. Scored the two goals against Jamaica. And he started against Mexico. And he did a great job for us against Mexico. Wasn't pretty, had to hold up the play, but good in my books. So, with the way I've looked at the other two situations, the common knowledge would be that Josh Sargent replaces Haji Wright. But Haji Wright has distinguished himself better than Brendan Aaronson and Mark McKenzie. One of those forwards have to make way. At the end of the day, I think it's going to be Haji Wright. I just think Josh Sargent has been too good and has earned that. And I think he did a solid for the U.S. He could have played for the United States at the Nations League, but something happened. They said it was an injury. But if he was so injured, why did he play for Norwich 2 days later? Because I don't think he was that as injured. I think there was some sort of agreement with his club, who are in a relegation scrap or a promotion scrap, and he stayed. Which is a huge sacrifice for Josh Sargent. More reason for him to be incorporated into this team. It's going to be Haji Wright. The other alternative is Ricardo Pepi. And I don't even want to think about that conversation for Greg Berhalter. Haji Wright has earned to stay on this team. He moved ahead of Ricardo Pepi in the pecking order for the Mexico game. It's a bad one. I'm going to say Sargent comes in for Haji Wright. And another thing, I love Haji Wright. He's an LA guy. We've got to look out for my LA guys here. So there you have it. That will be the change. The other thing, we're going to keep these guys healthy. I think there's going to be some injuries ahead of the Copa America, but the injury track record has improved drastically since it was a year ago. Guys, the minor injuries, I think they're taking better care of themselves with their clubs. They're getting older and wiser. They're becoming better professionals. They have the strength and conditioning guys. They have the nutritionists on board. So Christian Pulisic and Gio Reyna and many others who have had a history of injuries are avoiding those. Knock on wood. Because they could come up. It could be a catastrophic injury coming up. That is a big one. Now, the next order of business, and something we could all help on, is building the game. We saw the Nations League. The stadium was empty. People didn't know where to watch it. People didn't care. People didn't want to seek it out. They didn't. It wasn't on their radar. They were watching other things. March Madness, whatever. NBA. NWSL. They just don't watch the U.S. So there is a malaise, and we have talked about this stretch of games in the Copa America leading to the World Cup. I already said how the U.S. performance has to be paramount if they get knocked out of the groups, God forbid, if they lose in the quarterfinals, you won't be able to really advance it. Because keep in mind, the U.S. advances, these stadiums will get full. Fox is covering the Copa America. And from what I understand, because the games are in the evening, many of the games outside of USA and probably Mexico are going to be on FS1 and FS2, not on Big Fox. They're also covering the Euros. This is a big undertaking for Fox. And I mean, first and foremost, I would love to see different networks carry it just to show their interpretation and knowing that this is their baby. But Fox has done a great job of acquiring these rights. They're all about big events, and they have gotten these games. So Fox has to promote this in a big way. Use the Euros to build up the U.S. game. I mean, I know they're going to do that, but whatever they can, I want to see these campaigns, and I'm worried that they may not push it enough. But I like the folks at Fox. Obviously, that's where I started working and calling games, and they should be good. It's Fox. They have all the resources, so I don't think they've bitten off more than they can chew. But the possibility of that is there, and they're going to outsource some jobs, and we'll see if they're able to accomplish it. U.S. Soccer has to promote it, and they have dropped the ball on that. I want to see big campaigns for Weston McKennie and Christian Pulisic and Tyler Adams because, A, they are just agreeable people, and America will love them. But whatever it is, we've got to couple them up with where they pop up and people say, who are these guys? I want to get a hold of them because this is the reality, too, about U.S. soccer. About 5% of the population cares about the national team on a regular basis. That changes for the World Cup. We've got to get that number up to 15 or 20% at the very least, where people day-to-day check in. That's the number we want to hit by the end of the World Cup, hopefully higher. But realistically, 15 or 20% make soccer a part of their day-to-day. So we need the promotion to go through the roof. We need to do it. Spread the word on your own. With whatever you do, get people excited at work, at home, you know, buy the merchandise, walk around in your USA shirt, start a conversation at the water cooler. I know it sounds like this is pie in the sky, but it's this grassroots stuff works. I've seen it. This promotion part is a big part. It has to happen. And everyone from US soccer to the broadcasters to everyone else, the fans, have to chip in, and of course the U.S. national team and the players and Greg Berhalter and U.S. soccer have to do their part. Fingers crossed. Look, I'm realistic. I don't think the Copa America is going to end and we're going to go, hey, we've made it. That's not happening. But this is a means to an end to set the table for the World Cup because this is a dress rehearsal after all. The soccer OG wanted to thank Marco Fabian. Check out MASL. Check out the playoffs starting this week. It's going to be a fun ride, certainly if you're in those marketplaces, teams in Mexico, teams in America, all over the country, in North America, U.S., I should say. Check out the YouTube under my name, Max Bretos, for all the videos they all popped up there. We'll have an MASL one here very soon, too. Appreciate you joining us. Great stuff ahead. Catch the fever of Copa America and the Olympics, of course. You know how I feel about the Olympics. But watch it. It should be exciting, too, if you have that time. Some time's going to be very hard to come by in June and July. But we'll see each other again. Thanks for supporting the Soccer OG. Until we meet again, Placido Domingo.